Hey there, this is Seth Juarez coming to you from CodeMash 2016, an awesome conference. Is this your first one?
First CodeMash, yes.
What did you think?
Oh, I was quite impressed.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So tell us who you are and what you do.
So I'm Barbara Fuszyńska and I'm a software developer and lately mostly conference speaker.
Nice. Yes, but listen, she said I'm a developer, but she's much more than that. Genius level with data science.
Oh, genius
level. I'm just saying.
just saying.
What did you talk about when you were here?
Today I talked about R and how I used R to analyze GitHub events.
Oh, okay. So I know I was a Python man during my day. What's the difference between Python and R? Are they the same? Different focus? Is it a dynamic language, static language? Tell me about R.
So I don't know much about Python, but from what I remember, Python is much more for like data science in general, for the whole model building,
sure.
Stuff like this. R is, in my opinion, good for three things, and none of them is being easy to use as a programming language.
This is why we get Eastern Europeans to tell us how things are.
I love it. Yeah, because we're like,
yeah, it's like you just say it how it is. Like after a talk, I'm like, all right, Basha, how'd I do? And she'll just be like, look, dude, it was not good. It was.
No, your talk was
fine. Oh, thank you. Yes, see, and that's why it's a super good comment. So tell me the three things, and we'll forget about the programming part for a second.
Yeah, so the most visible thing, what R can do and why it's so impressive, is visualization.
Right.
So it's so great that Microsoft lately put it into the SQL Server for all the BI stuff and for all the graphs plotting.
That's right. And Revolution Analytics too. I think we bought that company.
You bought that company.
Because it's just the goodness.
And I think, you took the best part from R and put it in a perfect usage of it.
So why, and this is going to sound like a dumb question, but why is it important to, as you get your data, to visualize right away when you get it?
So, again, in my opinion, visualize of the data is our way how to build data scientists to build UI.
Yeah.
And this is what business see.
That's right. So, right. Regular developers versus data scientists. They build the UI, the tricky push. Data scientists build the graphs, the charts, the things, and that's our UI.
Yeah, and I think when I do stuff, when I calculate them, when I build a model, when I think I'm doing something smart, none of this matter until I put a pretty picture there.
That's right.
That summarizes it. And I think there should be a new role, new job for people, like designers, for regular developers, people who know how to create pretty graphs.
And there's a lot of material, Edward Tufte being the first, and there's a bunch of Stephen Few, who also talks about visualizing data. There's a really good book called Showing the Numbers. There's actually a lot of
whole
books
field, right?
of just, and I did a talk once on dashboards, and I just went through and showed bad dashboards, and there was plenty of them. Like, do not use a 3D pie chart ever. Maybe you shouldn't even use a pie chart. That's puffy, right? Iffy on a pie chart. So you're saying the first thing it does is visualization. You said there was three things, though.
One of those things is analyzing data. I would put it in
but
this way.
I felt like some air quotes in your brain.
It's not about R. It's more about data. You know how you get data and they are just rough, have missing bars, tons of shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
And R is very good of cleaning this mess. And
what does it do? Does it fill in missing data? What does it do with data that's bad?
It just has a lot of good syntax to easily do whatever you want to do. Right. Like, if you have missing data, do you want to replace it with a default value? It's very easy. Like with your
your
library. Yeah. It's actually the same syntax.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I feel I'm privileged to be able to part of that group.
So all those data manipulation, transformation is very good for it. Although you need to get used to how the structures are seen in R. Yeah. So it's very good. But the third thing that R is most famous for is algorithms.
That's right.
The actual data science algorithms. A lot of tools, a lot of libraries. You can do whatever you want, because there are so many packages available there, and you might want to build a model very, very complicated in some other language. Mm-hmm. Well, in R you have just one line, you can use it, and it just works out of the box.
That's awesome. So here's a question, and maybe you might not know yet, but I'm sure you do. This stuff is all running in memory. Could you run into memory problems?
Well, of course, but it's like with every programming language, it just can do so far, right?
Yeah, and so if you're trying to run 2 terabytes of visualization through your, you might have an issue.
Yes, but if you try to put this amount of data into memory and transform it and just work on it, you might have an issue in any field.
But the bright side is that the majority of companies' databases are never larger than like a gigabyte or two.
Yes.
If you look, there's big companies, then there's medium companies, and then there's like the people that run their own business. If you're doing consulting for those kind of people, their database is never going to fit in RAM, right?
Yes, this is true. The other thing is like when you're trying to do a visualization with a lot of data, it will cope, but it will just take some time if you have like very dense data.
So let's go into it. Let's see what we got. Maybe you can sort of help ease the burden or help us swallow the pill of R syntax.
R syntax. Oh, be my guest. So like the easiest thing you could do is, I don't remember if this is clear. No. Let's leave it. I'll just do it like this. So you don't see the stuff I did previously. So the easiest thing you can do is just define a variable. So my variable is a character. So if you print it, you see it like this. And I just found after my talk today why this one with the bracket comes in. And it also comes in when you're defining a vector.
The size?
No, it's not. Look at the vector. You also have one.
Oh.
So apparently, like with MATLAB only works on matrixes. With numbers, it works mostly in vectors, unless there is like a bigger structure that you can work with. You have basic types, you have vectors, you have lists.
Okay.
If you can see it.
Are you hitting Control Enter or something?
I hit Command Enter. With Windows, it would be Control Enter.
And that's what's executing the current line.
Yes, exactly. Okay, you can also execute the whole file.
Right.
But there is another command for this. But this is basically how like F# also
sure,
works.
Sure, sure, sure.
If you want to do stuff like my character, and you assign a number to it, no problem.
Well, it's a dynamic language then, right?
Yes, okay. Dynamic and functional.
Okay.
Also.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, I don't use much of it's being functional.
Is the syntax rough?
It's just functional. It's just not object-oriented language. But it doesn't give you much of the functional program of other functional programming languages, what they do. Uh-huh. It's for calculations, it's for statistics.
It's like a glorified calculator with pictures.
Exactly.
Nice. So there's going to be people ticked at us. It's probably a lot more than that, but
yes,
I don't know anything, okay?
I don't know anything.
Okay.
So funny part starts when you try to do more complicated structures, like lists. Let's have list. Let's go back to my char being a string, or maybe not. Let's. So, if you try to access the first element of my character, it's still this character. Actually, we assigned
it to a four,
so now it's like the first element. Again, because it's
a one by one matrix.
It's one by one vector.
Vector.
One element vector. And vector is not like vector matrix we are used to in data science. It's more like an array.
Okay.
In normal programming.
Okay, okay,
so
okay.
Vector can store only elements of the same type.
Okay, okay.
Like lists can store different types.
Sure.
There is something very weird in R, those double brackets you can see.
Yeah,
there.
What is that doing?
So with simple types doesn't do much. With vector doesn't do much, as you can see. Just treats it as the same as the single one.
Mm-hmm.
But with the list, if you hit... if you hit this line with just single brackets, you get the first element of the list with just one element.
And then the rest of it.
So if you can see here, you have those double brackets here, one bracket here, and an A. But if you use double brackets when you try to access the element, you only get to this element itself. It's like mind-blowing once you actually get what does it mean.
So I don't understand. What's happening? So help me out here.
Okay, let's try to create a new list.
Okay.
So
new list.
It's list, and let's think of it as list of vectors.
Okay.
Maybe this will be better. A, B, C.
Okay, and then vector
and
two
then
would be...
Vector two will be...
D, E, F or something. Or numbers, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So let's see this new list. It has two elements that contains two vectors.
Yes.
So this other one thing only applies to this vector.
Right.
And this other one thing only applies to vector. This is the index of the element of the list.
I'm still like...
It's really not that easy. It took me some time. So if you try to access the first element using like single brackets, what you expect to see?
The whole vector, the first one.
It's like, this is the first element
holding
a vector.
Right.
And vector always will have this one. You just need to get used to it.
Sure, sure.
but if you want just access the vector, not the whole element of the list, you use double brackets. And you just get straight to the element that this list contains.
Oh, it's like a container.
It's like yes.
And you're unwrapping stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
And sometimes you really, really need to be careful about that.
That's interesting because it feels like we're trying to just appease the compiler or the interpreter
Kind of, yes, but it's how this data is is structured. So there is easier way. So if we define our list a little bit differently, we instead of having indexes, we do x equals and y.
Now it's
equals.
More like a struct, right?
Yes. That, no, it's more even like an
object
like a struct. And you now do new list. You can access directly to those elements by using the name.
Got it.
Using dollar instead of dot,
like
in any normal programming language. So if you access like y, you go straight to this element.
I see. And so it's just that if you don't name it, it's a box.
Yes. And R does a lot of stuff for you if you forget to like name it or add some elements. It will just fill with some default data.
So a box is literally an empty variable that has stuff in it.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So if you're creating a matrixes and you don't name your columns or data frames or stuff like this, it will call it like x1, x2, x3.
Mm-hmm.
Or ABC even sometimes. So it does a lot of stuff for you, but you need to know its tricks.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get into like pulling data in. Like, because the biggest thing, like the impressive thing for a language of this type is to have a CSV file or something and just...
Okay, so I have a CSV file here.
What lucky, we didn't even plan this, okay? Just so we know what's going on.
I will show you something more impressive.
Okay,
I have a JSON file.
Okay.
Here. Not even JSON. I won't show you the file. It's like a list of JSONs.
It's because it's 24 megabytes.
Yes, yes. So this is actual file that I pulled off from GitHub Archive.
Okay.
So it's GitHub events. Every line is an event in a JSON structure.
Okay.
And
it's not trivial in size. 24 megs is a big thing.
Yes, and it's just an hour data.
Yeah.
So if you go to this thing and you want to, if you want to just read lines, that's the beauty of R, and now I'm not being sarcastic.
Yeah, that is good.
That whenever you think of some kind of a function that you need, probably it's there.
It's already there.
And named as you would imagine.
Right.
So you read lines from a file. This is a function, built-in function.
I see.
And you have those lines here.
And which is going to be a list of strings.
List of strings.
Yeah.
And then I use, this is actually apply, but L means like list apply. That apply this function from JSON to all those lines, because it's not a big JSON structure, it's a list, every line
that's
is a
like
JSON.
A, that's like an each with a lambda,
yes.
Right? With
so
the lambda
it
first.
Takes every line, yeah. Apply from JSON. So JSON events actually contain a list of JSONs parsed from those lines. And then I filter them from the event name because I was looking for example, for just pull request events or something
Got
like
it.
That. But those two lines will read your file. If you want to read like a normal CSV file, I think I have it somewhere here. Read active repositories, no. Save with Analyze Week, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So I have this file here.
I see that read CSV, that's cool.
Yeah, and I have read CSV. And I also, if you want to save the week, I have it probably in save week. All you need to do to is write CSV. And read CSV was so simple. It wasn't so simple, it could be this simple. And
yeah.
But I had a different separator and I wanted a header. If you just don't want the header, there are so many default implementation of this function, you just can use it.
So I love the way it reads data. Can you show us how you clean it?
How I clean data?
Yeah, what are some cleanliness? Are there any functions? And if you don't have an example, that's okay. You could just talk about what are some of the functions that are built
in. I don't have in this repository, but imagine that you have a data frame or matrix or list with null data.
Just to be clear, what is a data frame? Is it just like a data set? Is that like something .NET person would understand?
I will show you. I don't think we have anything like a data frame.
Okay.
Let's do this. So this is like a list.
Mm-hmm.
We have a list first and second. We can access the first. And data frame. It's something like this. It's like data you're reading from a CSV file.
Okay.
And if you notice here, first was 1, 2, 3, and second was 4, 5, 6, mm-hmm. and they go as columns values. They are not read row wise. They are read column wise.
So it's sort of like a table, but what's the difference? And I'm looking at it.
It is kind of a table, but. It's in R thing, it's a list because it contains two elements, first and second.
I see.
If you actually look at the structure of this data structure, mm-hmm. it's not a table.
Right.
You don't access it by row number and column number.
Yeah, of course not, because you wouldn't do that when you're doing statistics on it.
You would do it. You have matrices for this. Matrix is matrix, but this is data
frame. Like, for example, for a decision tree, you're working with columns.
Yes.
And so it makes more sense statistically to have a column.
And also matrix is something that contains all the data of all of the same type.
Yeah, of course.
And data frame doesn't have to.
It doesn't.
Can have category, it can have number, string.
Okay, that's cool.
And all the columns are typed.
Is this the data type then that you use to do the cleaning? Okay.
Actually, you can do the cleaning on any data type, but this is the data type you use to do data science.
Okay.
That's what I would say.
Okay.
So data frame is something that you work the most with. Second one is matrix.
I see. And so data frame, what kind of methods are on there that do cleaning? Like is there a fill-in missing values? Is it like a smooth? Is it like a, do some kind of step function? Does it do binning? I mean, what kind of stuff does it do?
So if you have like simple filtering, mm-hmm. Let's have this list here. We have a list. I will do it with the data frame. I'll create a list. Let's have a data frame. Oh, what did I do? All right. It doesn't have the same. Didn't have the same amount of. Of
Man,
elements.
You're fast. I would have stayed at that for like 6 hours.
Let's just do it. Yeah. So we have we have something like this, and let's say you just want to you just want rows that first element is an odd number, right? So you can just filter it like this. You have a condition here.
Mm-hmm.
There is this strange comma after, but it means you want rows.
Okay.
If you want stuff by columns, you need to put it after comma.
Like, that makes sense, right?
Yeah,
because it's a tuple, right? And you'd have a one and a zero. So that's how. Okay.
Yeah.
It's just a shorthand.
So if you like the result, you only have 1 and 3, which makes sense because 2 is an even number.
Okay.
And if you can do whatever complex stuff you want, you can use a filter function. There was, as you can see here, there's a filter function. You can put anything you want in there.
More
complex stuff. For simple, this is enough. And like for...
Well, that's just like what I do in my for... But it doesn't... Okay, so there's no way to do... Remember how I showed you... Because I have a machine learning library where you could pass functions into the actual square bracket.
Yeah.
But I could never do a getter for it because it had to return the value of the same type.
Right.
And so maybe I could, I don't know, I should go back and look at that, but that's really cool how it's kind of a semi-lambda expression in there to actually pull out the thing.
So this is like a more complicated result.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to use just columns, we have 3 columns, and I just want the second one, right? So this is my second column, or I want 2 columns. I just took 1 column here, and it returned me a vector.
Right.
Or a list, but this is actually a vector.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have 2 columns, it returns
it
me
back.
Another data frame, which is great. You can also use names of the columns, as you can see here.
Right.
And yeah, you can just use another to create another list. This is matrix I told you about. So you can just create matrix from the columns you had because they are all the same type.
Right. Wow.
And it names it because you didn't do it. You can adjust the naming, the headers, whatever you want. But you don't have to if you just want to work on data.
So if you're cleaning data, what you can possibly do is you can filter out all the things that are bad.
Yeah, so you could do something like my list whenever X equals NA, put 0.
Got it. That's like what stuff that I do. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Man.
Actually, it's not a valid thing. It's like is NA. I think it's is NA.
Got it. That's cool.
And it's
like a function.
Yeah,
it's a function inside.
Indexing.
That's why I like. Yeah, because I wrote that in like years ago. So I'm like, oh man, all I need to do is go in there and just fix this one thing.
Yeah.
Because when I was writing these algorithms, I just realized I need to do that. And then it was just like, well, just use a function. So the last thing you mentioned, because I can see now that you can slice and dice and go through everything, make a matrix, do whatever, I can see how this works for cleaning. Let's talk about doing the diagrams. Can you do that?
Yes, but I will show you something that that uses the external library.
Okay.
So this is the LTTB algorithm that does downsampling.
Okay.
So first I will just use this library, and then I'm plotting time series. This is a data set that comes with this library to show its capabilities. So you have some time series.
Mm-hmm.
You can zoom it. And this is the data, you just have a time series.
So I heard that in R, there's built-in visualizations, but you can also import packages that do prettier visualizations.
Oh, yeah.
Like ggplot, is that the one?
Oh, yes.
That's
so
the one.
I'll just show you like a simple, and then I'll show you something about ggplot.
Okay.
So this, you can change the bucket size, and then you can just add lines to the same plot. Because if you use plot, again, it will create another plot. So if we zoom it, you
there
can
it
see.
Is.
So this is like the simplest thing you could do. Use plot. You give it the data, and that's it.
That's cool.
If you don't use those colors and those things, R will figure it out on their own. Like apply another color to another line.
Okay.
You just don't have a control which color would that be. But if you just want to use your colors,
it's cool how fast this happens. Though there's not any like, because usually you'd have to write some method and blah blah blah, but it's just not fun at all.
So I'm thinking, do I have anything here about ggplot? Yes, I do.
Yeah, you do.
Yes, I do. I just don't know if I have weak data. Yes, maybe I'll just read it. Yeah.
So right now you're just reading in a lot of data, right?
Yes,
now.
I just want to have data to visualize. I visualize something, but it's not like very pretty. And where did I have it?
So as you're looking through as you're looking through this, so would you say that R is like a really good way to just do data exploration?
Definitely. That's what I meant when I said analyzing the...
Okay.
So if you put together visualization...
I see.
...and data transformation and stuff, you have very, very good framework for data exploration.
If you're doing machine learning, though, once you've explored your data, say as it... because a lot of the work of the data scientist is trying to figure out what data will actually be good for your models. Would you use R to generate the models?
I wouldn't use R to generate the models because the models and the algorithms are already like there.
Oh, yeah.
I would even use the other languages, but with R packages.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying that part of the exploration is finding out if the model would even be good.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Okay, let's try to plot something. So you've seen my pretty great plots. This is like the normal thing.
They're like Excel circa 1997.
Exactly.
That's right.
Okay, so let's do something prettier. I need to install it. Libraries. Sorry, wasn't prepared.
No, that's cool. No, it's good to see that these things happen because someone's gonna.
And look here. It looks like something went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's just R and it's beauty. Sometimes it just puts stuff in red. Because it's important information, right?
So, like I was saying, it's good that because someone's going to download this file and be like, what am I doing wrong? And so it's good you have to install it, okay.
Yeah, you need to install it, but there is a repository there, like Nuget or whatever.
Sure.
There is. And also people are putting tons of stuff on GitHub.
Okay.
So, yes. And this is like warning message. It was built under version. Yes, and I checked. This is my version.
And
sometimes when you're doing stuff, this message comes back.
And it scares you,
from no reason whatsoever. Okay, let's try to plot it. See? I only plotted points, and it's so much prettier.
Yeah, it is.
And let's go, add something else. I added some color.
Mm-hmm.
And I added color based on day part.
Mm-hmm.
And then I added size.
Yes.
So let's go through the day.
It's getting
bigger.
Much better.
And what did I do? Now I'm plotting lines, adding dots.
And then now it's like,
It's just prettier because of this background and... Okay, what now? I don't remember what did I figure out. Okay, this.
Nice.
And those are simple stuff, but just looks nice.
It looks
nice.
Better, yeah.
Yes, and this is like...
Even better.
I just scaled it, added it, because sometimes it just cuts it. This is also scaling, I think. Yeah, let's do something more interesting. Bar plots. So this is like the out of the box, still prettier.
Which is better.
Yeah. So this is I was analyzing how productive are we during the week.
Got it.
So, or during the day event. So this gives you different color. The colors are so nicer.
Yeah, they are. They're not like the harsh,
highly saturated.
It's not as saturated.
And it's just like out of the box. I was playing with it. Like you can, those are like mean values.
Got it.
And stuff. But I wanted them, those are just completely different colors. It takes a little bit time to, which one did I? Yes.
There you go.
This one, and this was my goal, just to put those bars, because those one data is for Monday, one is for Wednesday, one is for Friday. I wanted them next to each other.
Right.
Which is not a thing any data scientist wanted to do.
Yeah.
I just wanted to find out if I can do it. Yes.
So we've gone through a lot of stuff. I loved how we looked at each of the three aspects as you said, and we even saw some of the beauties of R as you mentioned. Where can people go to find out more about R to get started?
So R language, don't just write R because even Google doesn't understand it yet, but R language, and if you want plots, just put plots, and there are tons of pages, but you always end up to this official R page when people are contributing. Right. There's a lot of free materials. There is an R book written in, I think it's Manning Publications. They even show you parts of the book, parts of the chapters that this particular problem is referring to.
Oh, wow.
And there are R groups. Basically, go to Google and there is a group like Stack Overflow for normal developers for R people. The clue is that R is in such an early stage yet that there is no like patterns or ways to do it.
I see.
Basically, first thing that works for you.
Well, here's the thing. You know this probably better than I do. The data scientist's code is generally not very good ever. It's
like, don't aim for it.
Like, you know what
don't
I'm saying? Like, if you ever read a paper, like on machine learning, they never put the code, they never release it because it's complete garbage.
Yeah.
Because
it's
like the last thing you do just to see if it works.
Yes, yes. And I think that's where R comes in.
It's okay.
You don't aim for the clean code because even like two pages I've shown you, they were just like me trying to do stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't use this code to do actual stuff.
Absolutely.
I would use those two last lines.
But then again, we wouldn't do this stuff to explore data either. Like, it's not like I'm going to write, like, highly good code. I'm going to go out and be like, I'm going to learn F sharp so that I can do some really good patterns. It's really not.
We're just
looking around, right?
This is just a tool that you're using, and no one cares, and you also shouldn't care to think of it like as a very clean thing, unless you actually want to use it in the future. This is like with every code.
Right.
If you want this code to be used later, you probably want to like
name
things, and but that's it.
And now, do you write your opinions down somewhere, like in a blog that people can go and read?
Yes, I have my blog, but lately it became more like lifestyle blog. last time it was very popular. It was about conference speaking.
Nice. I remember reading that.
Yeah.
It was very good. So where is it?
So it's basiafusinska.com or barbarafusinska.com. Basically, if you put my name and blog, it will. I'm the only person in the world named like this.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for spending some time with us with R.
Sure.
It's been very educational for me. Hope you learned as much as I did. We're here at Codemesh 2016 with Basha, who's fantastic. Thanks for watching, and we will catch you next time. Take care.
Thank you.